Oh, my white brothers and sisters, welcome to the Creativity Power Hour. I'm your host, Reverend Hardy Lloyd, Pontifex Maximus of the Church of Ben Clausen. Check us out online at churchofbenclausen.org and creativityreligion.com. Check out my own personal blog at hardyloyd.net. That's pretty much that. Okay. So there was an issue with audio. We decided to leave talk crap because every other week there was an issue. People would start typing into the chat, and then somebody tried to post a picture and the chat would freeze, or instead of letting me talk, it would put somebody else on, or people couldn't call in. So it was just the whole thing was just screwed up. So we had to leave that, and we decided to just go with audio recording. However, so the audio files were a little too big because I have a tendency to kind of rant. So these are going to be kept around an hour, give or take. From now on, because anything over that, it seems not to not to want to upload. Anyway, so I'm sorry. It's just it's going to be too much of an issue to cut up the old files at this time. I'm going to see if I can have Brother Josh do that for me. He was busy doing another project for the church, but I'm going to see if he can, he's one of our tech people. If he can actually do some splicing with the old shows, because we have like what 35 or 40 of those. Now, I personally can email somebody, if they're interested in the old shows. But I'm gonna have to let Brother Josh actually try to cut them down, maybe do part one, part two for each episode so we can get them up on the thing. That's going to take a while though. He's actually finishing up something else for the church, and as soon as Josh is done with that, I'm going to have him do this. It's not really an issue. Most people download them at the time, so they've already been listened to by thousands of people, so we don't, I mean, each episode. So which actually was amazing, the amount of downloads and then streams for each of the episodes. It was great because it kept getting bigger and bigger, so that's cool. This way though, I can't really tell how many people actually stream or download, but whatever. And as long as it works, it works. So that's what's going on with that. Yeah, I mean, there was a few shows I actually did record, and anybody's interested in that, I'll see if I can actually get Josh to cut those up. I just don't have time. I'm doing other things. The newsletter now. Okay, we're just jumping into old new news. The newsletter is definitely, that's something that probably won't kick off till summer, maybe autumn. We've got a picnic scheduled in two cities. I know Josh wants to do something in Cleveland, but I figured Pittsburgh and Austin is enough. That's one on the west, one on the east coast, and that should be good enough. And I know Brother Shane would like to do something up in the northwest, but we're just gonna, I mean, he might do something too. Anyway, so we got, so spring and summer, we've got, excuse me, we've got two picnics planned. That's one for Pittsburgh, one for Austin. We got flyer drives. We got spring summer offensive that's going to kick off. That's going to kick off in April and probably just run through till autumn, till it starts to rain and snow, depending on where you live. Anyway, so that's going to kick off in autumn, and we've got people already actually stocking up for that. So that's what's going to happen in spring and autumn, because it's just about February. So that's about the audio issues and the flyer drives. Now these are going to hit several cities, of course. And then there's of course the two picnics, and that's two different cities, Texas and PA. Maybe Josh, maybe we'll do Cleveland as well. Maybe that'll be one like an autumn or something. There's this pavilion they have that's kind of that's kind of covered from the elements. So you're still outside, but it's not too bad. So we might do that. And we got to get together in we've got get-togethers coming up in springtime in Austin, San Antonio, Wheeling, West Virginia, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh. And see, oh, Salt Lake, that's right. And in Salt Lake, I'll see what our people are doing up in the Northwest. And in New England. Now, let's get to Canadian news. So, Canadian news is, anyway, so that's what's going to happen spring and summer. There's a lot of stuff we've got planned for 2022. A lot of stuff. The Jew is through in 2022, baby. So, we got a ton of shit planned in multiple cities, multiple states, multiple countries that are going to be taking place this year, and the newsletter. Now, because of all these things that we got going on now and in spring and summer, the newsletter is probably not going to come out till summer or autumn. I am committed to getting a newsletter, a free online newsletter up and running, which you download off the website, and providing that for people and starting that. That would be once a month. At most, that would be once a month, might be a quarterly thing. Me and a few other members are working that out. Actually, Josh is one of them. And okay, so that is going to happen. And then the Canadian thing. So we do have people, our people in Canada and near the border, our people in the Northwest, our people in Canada, our people in Buffalo. And some of our people from Pittsburgh and Cleveland via Buffalo, excuse me, are passing out flyers to the trucker, the Freedom Convoy thing that's going on right now, the anti-vax, march for civil rights against the Jews and the jog that's going on right now in the United States and Canada. So we do have our members and supporters in the borderland on both sides are actually passing out. We have not had any issues yet. There we do have some video footage and some pictures. However, we're keeping most of that stuff from being published at the moment, just due to Canadian speech laws. There's no free speech in Canada, so we have to be careful with some of that stuff. We do have some stuff though. So for the newsletter though, we'll have some of that stuff. Actually, there was one incident I was informed about dealing with local cops in Canada that ended up being okay. I made sure that everybody understood. Well, I mean, our people in Canada don't have to be told this, but I was like, listen, just make sure you guys follow the speech laws. This is about recruitment with people that are sympathetic to our message. No reason, no need to, hit them over the head with a hammer. They're already receptive. Anybody who's anti-tyranny, to the extent that the truckers are doing with something that could get them in trouble in that country because there's no free speech, those people are they don't need to be hit on the head, with the truth. They pretty much know I'm a good portion of it. So the flyers we've been passing out there have been kind of watered down a little bit. That's just the way it has to be in Canada. Anyway, so we that stuff though will be included in the newsletter whenever it comes out this year, definitely. And that is and that's a definite. So everything's going good actually. Things are actually looking up. We've got some new members, which is nice, in multiple locations. We in Texas and PA and the Northwest. And I've been told that New England and Utah are doing good as well, and of course Canada. Oh, one other thing. So I was talking with Brother William, and I mentioned this with a couple other people. I'm going to write a piece on this, but we are going to, as you know, our New Year's has been kind of up in the air. Some creators would do as I do, is take the old pagan day for New Year's, which in the lunar calendar would be the 1st of April, although in the solar calendar it's the it's the 21st of March. So the 1st of April, a lot of us celebrate as New Year's Day. Other creators, just for tradition, say, just for tradition, maybe also just have less of a headache, continued with the Christ insane, the monotheist insane, because let's face it, all three of the monotheist crackpots embrace this, the 1st of January, which is stupid to have it then. You know, it's like a week after, like, what, 10 days after Yule? I don't know. I mean, might as well have it on Yule. But anyway, so there was always two or three dates that creators celebrate as New Year's. One, including myself, was the old pagan date, which was the 1st of April. And then the other one was just keeping it the same, you know, the 1st of January, just to lessen headaches, sort of for tradition's sake. And then there was a third group, although not as large as the other two, surprisingly, that want to celebrate Founding Day as the first day. Some creators have embraced that over the years, but it wasn't really a big thing. Anyway, Brother William made the suggestion. He laid out good points, and I agree with him. So I'm going to just make an official announcement now. Founders Day is going to be, from now on, is going to be our New Year's Day. It makes sense. You know, you got Founders Day and Clausen Day, which are back to back. So it makes sense that New Year's would be that day. And that way, it's our own thing. It's, you know, we're not just simply reverting back to paganism, nor embracing something, you know, a day that's alien to us. Racially and historically. So from now on, Founders Day is going to be New Year's Day. And we do have celebration coming up, 20th, 21st of February. We got some good stuff coming up, and we're gonna do that. And I think that's really the rundown. So yeah, we've got some new members in several states. The ARA faggots in Texas are being dildos, so our people are being dildos back. and we got the picnics. This is good. We haven't done this for it's been a year, right? Anyway, but excuse me, still have a little to cough. Not so bad though. 4 fucking weeks. Can you believe that? Anyway, so yeah, things are actually, for the church, things have been basically just, they keep going up. They keep going up and up and up. So it's really nice. And I want to thank everybody. I want to thank brothers Josh and William and Shane and Joe. Obviously, I have to thank Joe. And I want to thank B. I'm not going to give his name. He's a supporter. He's not an official member, but definitely want to thank him. And of course, Sister Ivanova and Lisa. Thanks again for help. There's actually some more people, but I don't really like to throw too many names out there just for security reasons. And we'll let them get their feet wet first. There's some new people, but I'm not going to throw their names out yet. Anyway, but things are going good, man. I'm feeling good. I shaved today, so I look better. I was kind of sick, so I was like, fuck it, I'm not going to shave. I shaved. Anyway, so that's the old new news, and kind of a big recap for the last few weeks that I haven't been able to upload a show. I'm really sorry. Well, I'm not going to apologize. It's not my fault. I mean, TalkShoe just sucks. They got so many bugs, it's ridiculous. When the page got canceled, I was like, fuck it, I don't even care. I mean, we stopped using it, I think, a week before. You know, it's just, this is just one of those things that if you want all the bells and whistles for doing, say, you know, internet radio or internet TV station, you know, there's the problem of free speech. You know, all the good sites don't have free speech. I mean, there are things, you know, like Gab TV and whatnot, but I like doing this. I like to just record. This way I don't have to really specifically set a time. I can just do them on Sunday or even Saturday night. And just, you know, just this way I don't have to worry about, you know, are enough people going to be able to call in, you know, blah, blah, blah. So this is good. Anyway, so that's the big ass recap. And I guess just, you know, the Freedom Convoy, this is a really great recruitment opportunity. I want to stress that again. We do have people in Canada and on both sides of the borders that are passing out some flyers right now, albeit a little bit watered down. But the hits out of Canada on the website have skyrocketed. And I want to thank all of our brothers and sisters in and around Canada, well, in Canada, and the ones that actually did do a little, the ones that, you know, traveled over the bridge. I'm not going to say which city, but you know who you are. And I just want to thank all of our brothers and sisters and all the supporters too that aren't necessarily haven't converted to creativity, but have definitely helped us to grow in Canada and along the border. I want to thank you all very much. The reception in Canada has been surprisingly, remember this is a libtard country, has been surprisingly, it's been very receptive. And I think people are so sick and tired of the liberal bullshit. As you know, we hate both right wing and left wing alike, but the libtards are real bad bastards. And they've fucked up so much that in Canada, the white people are starting to recognize this and starting to become extreme because that's the only option now. Unlike the United States, where you got these conservatives, which are no different than libtards, and then you got libertarians and anarchists, which are basically just centrists, you know, there's this cushion. And I think the Jews set up the United States political system that way on purpose so that, you know, if a white person, or really anybody for that matter, you know, gets pissed, you know, gets tired of the Jews and the libtards and the commies preaching their racist bullshit, that, you know, then there's the conservatives to go to. Or if you get sick of the right-left box, then the first thing you'll think of is anarchism, which is anti-communist, or libertarianism, which isn't really right-wing. But in Canada, you don't have that. So the people that are getting our flyers, the people that are talking to our members up there, and of course, you know, some of the places the Northwest and New Hampshire, Vermont, and New York, they don't have that cushion. So they're like, oh, okay, white civil rights. Gotcha. That's awesome. So we're really making headway with that. I'm really, really glad that we're able to use this whole kung flu bullshit, you know, to a really great advantage. Anyway, so that's actually good. So the church is slowly but steadily growing in size, growing in outreach. It's really great. Oh, speaking of outreach, we are going to do, as I said before in the past, we are going to have with the newsletter, we will offer one to POWs with the guarantee that if the first one gets rejected, we will send an even further watered down version in. But you will have to pay for that. So if you know anybody who's inside, somebody's going to have to give us money to do that because we're going to have to print it. We're going to have to make a physical copy. We're going to have to send it in. The first one will probably be rejected, even though it's going to be watered down. And then we'll have to water down a second version and send it in to them. But we do have that guarantee because I've been in prison. I know what it's like. We do have that guarantee. As I said, that's definite for this year. If anybody out there has articles, essays, movie reviews, book reviews, whatever, send them in. Even if it's old stuff, stuff you wrote 10 years ago, stuff that somebody, a white civil rights activist, you know, like 30, 50 years ago wrote. Send it on in. We'll file everything and we'll use it. Anyway, there's the recap. Holy shit. Excuse me. I'm a little peckish, but I need to wait. Let me have a sip of my double filtered water here. Mm-mm. Anyway, so, oh, my ear is itchy. So today, I guess for the next 40 minutes or so, I'm going to talk about what is, well, since things are actually starting to look up, in general, as far as people outside the right-left box, you know, with politics go, and that the church is continuing to grow. Each month we grow a little bit bigger every month. This is actually really good. And I just want to thank everybody again. Thank you all around to everybody for helping. So many people have contributed to our growth. I just had to say that again. It's definitely some of the things we've been able to achieve is you don't always see it, you know, on the social media posts and the website, but behind the scenes, shall we say, there's a lot of things that have taken place and are in the works for the immediate future. And just want to thank everybody again, everywhere too, especially the Carolinas and Utah, Texas, PA, Ohio, West Virginia, and the Northwest, as well as our brave brothers and sisters in Canada who face discrimination, who face not just cultural discrimination, but also legal discrimination every day. You know, that's those of us down here in the United States and in certain Latin countries don't have to worry about. But I just want to, they're doing a great job up there. Anyway, okay, enough of that. Let's get on to the actual topic. The sermon of tonight is the positivity of creativity. These are all positive things that are going on, so I figured I'd talk about positivity, which was last week's broadcast, actually, which I can't upload because it was too big. It's like an hour and 20, hour and 30 minute show, and I guess it was too big. And Josh is too busy right now to cut them all up. I was like, damn it. Josh is one of our techies. And he also self-publishes books. It's actually cool. We actually have him print up things. He actually makes handmade copies of books. He was selling some creativity. He was selling the holy books handmade, actually, at one point. He's a little bit too busy to do that. That takes a while. But he was doing that for the church several years ago. It was actually kind of cool. Handmade copies, they were hardback too. It was great. It was really cool. It wasn't like something you go to Kinko's and get printed up, because I've done that. No, this was all handmade. He did it himself. It was really cool. Anyway, we don't have any more of those to sell, though. I remember somebody was asking me a couple months back about that, but no, we don't have any. But anyway, that's a positive thing, and creativity tends to bring out the positivity in everybody. You know, creativity, the great thing about creativity, the genius of Clausen is that he didn't just focus on the negative. He just didn't focus on rosy, hey, let's blind ourselves to reality either. He went right down the middle and in plain black and white English just stated what was fact. And some stuff is good, some stuff is bad. That's the way life is. The universe operates this way all the time. And that's what was great. That's what I love about creativity is his genius to not just state things plainly. And for somebody like myself, you know, I just love pure logic. But it also, you know, he told us that we should not just focus on, you know, our enemies that we must hate, but also our race, which we must love. We need to balance out the hate with love. And he also told us that we need to focus not just on the things that make us happy in life, you know, the things that are positives or strengths, but we should also focus on our weaknesses too, because focusing on the weaknesses, not ignoring them, not trying to sweep them under the rug, embracing our weaknesses along with our strengths makes us better people, and better individuals make a better race. And Clausen knew this, and that's what he says in the holy books. And I agree with this 100%. I've not found one thing that he wrote that I disagree with. I haven't. There's nothing I disagree with. I cannot find one thing in 14 volumes that I say, oh, wait, I don't, fuck this. Okay, Salubrious Living 24/7 is not a mandate. It's not a commandment. So I guess we're all okay in kind of ignoring that on occasion. That's probably why I was sick, because I was eating too many pizzas that were not all organic. The ones I personally made were organic. Hold on. Anyway, let's get back to being positive. The positivity of creativity. Creativity is such a wonderful religion, and it focuses a lot on white history, all the great things we've invented, which is basically everything. I mean, we're responsible. We are alone responsible for all worthwhile culture and civilization. That's what's a great thing about creativity, is it recognizes that and embraces it. It holds it up and says, well, look, you know, you did all these great things. This is great. But you also, on the flip side of that coin, because Ben Clausen always told us there's always two sides to every coin, is while you have done all these great things, you do have these weaknesses over here, and the Jews are able to exploit that. So you must be on guard. You must understand these things, embrace these weaknesses of our species' character, and that way we can guard against the Jews coming in and taking advantage of certain, you know, every species has weaknesses. You know, there's no Superman species anywhere. There's no species in the universe that's great on everything. That's not the way life works. In fact, if you were a species of that, it would kind of, everything would be boring as hell, because there nothing would ever go wrong. So we need things to go wrong in life, and excuse me, and creativity accepts this and embraces this. This is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I mean, I personally know people that just love to sweep all the bad shit under the rug. It's so stupid. I like to, and I don't know if this is an autism thing or just my own personality, I like to hear bad news up front, because I like to deal with it when it first happens. You know, if somebody comes up to me and says something that's really bad, but they just come up out right out with it, I'm like, okay, well, that sucks, but there's always a plan. There'll be a plan for that, or a flip side, or there's something positive to be gained from this tragedy. And that's the way I look at things. That's the way I believe all creators look at things, because this is what our religion teaches us. It teaches us to do this. That's a good thing. I love creativity. I really do. You know, whenever I get down and out, all I got to do is read through the Little White Book or through Nature's Eternal Religion. That always cheers me up. It's a lot of really great stuff in there. By the way, if anyone out there is listening who's new to creativity, you can go to the website, creativityreligion.com and or churchofbenclausen.org, and just download the holy book. I have several holy books. I've not put them all up there. I put up the ones that have the best stuff to get you involved. You know, that have all the core beliefs, practices, and philosophy. And a lot of good advice too. The Revolution of Values Through Religion is actually great. I've read that book like two or three times. It's a really good one, and just lays into monotheist insanity. Like, savage. Love it. Savage. That's Clausen's genius. It was just plain black and white English. That's he just put everything in there. I've heard people say this over and over again. You know, it sounds kind of remedial. It sounds plain. Well, he did it on purpose, so when you read it, it gets stuck in your brain pan. So it's in there. It becomes instinct. You know, his words, you know, his teachings, they become instinct. That's the genius of his writing. You know, there's, you know, Julius Evola, Rene Guenon, Giovanni Gentili, you know, very flowery, long-winded writers, you know, basically saying the same thing Clausen did. But I mean, you know, taking like 20 times the space to say it. You know, you don't need that. You just need plain black and white English, and that's what Clausen does. It truly is a positive religion. You know, it's you got these people, you know, there's the Nazis, you know, they seem to just focus on the Jews all the time, just constant Jew shit. You know, and yes, it's good to recognize the enemies of humanity, because, you know, the Jews are everybody's enemy. but you know, there's more to life. You know, there's more enemies. There's also more positive things, not just negative stuff to focus on. You know, I mean, from time to time, you know, you got to switch it up. And, you know, the National Socialists just seem to focus on the Jews all the time. And of course the Hitler worship and all that shit. You know, I mean, Clausen was like, well, you know, there's various aspects of white history that are great. You know, the white race excelled multiple times and multiple places upon this planet. He just doesn't focus on one thing. So many people, you know, so many white pride activists, white civil rights activists, which I don't really use that term for us. You know, we are creators. That's what we are. We are our religion. Our religion is us. But so many white power people, you know, they focus on the Third Reich. Okay, fine. That was like 12 years or what was it, 12 or 13? No, 12 years, you know, where white people weren't slaves to the Jews. But I mean, it was heavily nationalistic, you know, focusing on just one segment of the entire white race, which is stupid. Let's see. And then there's other people, you know, you got pagans and Odinists and sorry, Shane, Wotanist too, that focus on, he hates it when I do that, that focus way too much on the Vikings, that focus on pagan. Listen, paganism may be historical, it may be instinctual to our race, but it's not like a good thing. I mean, paganism still is based upon spookcraft, and spookcraft, whether it's pro-white or not, it befuddles the mind. It clouds the creative ability, the natural creative ability of the white race. That's what spookism does. Listen, I know Odinism and Hellenism. Yeah, I know. I admire the Greeks and Romans a hell of a lot. Not just for creativity, but even before I converted. Listen, but all spookism is bad. It's bad for you. You know, it is. It's just bad. You know, it's like some people, I forget which group or sub ideology. I think this might be just, I don't know if it's a certain segment of Christian identity or if it's just Christian identity period, but some Christian identity people, I've heard them actually say that Hitler and Jesus are the same person. Now, Jesus is a mythical person. I mean, it's a mythical character from a very bad play. You know, like Moses and Muhammad, totally made up, never existed. And you know, people are like, well, Hitler was the reincarnation of Jesus and, you know, the Jew taco zombie, and that he was to bring about that he is now the Messiah to bring about the true utopia of the new Garden of Eden, the Third Reich. And I'm like, what the fuck does it? I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever. What are you fucking Nazis talking about? Fucking weird ass shit. And, you know, I'm like, even pro-white stuff can be stupid if it's spook-based. Now, I'm not saying there's not a place for Odinism or Hitler worship. I mean, listen, whatever we can use to get white people to become racially conscious so eventually we can get them to become creators, I'm all for that. I'm such an orthodox, I'm such a fanatic of creativity. To me, creativity is my life. I'm such a fanatical follower of Clausen's teachings that I have very little sympathy or respect or patience for racially conscious whites that don't embrace creativity. I have a real, real hard time with it because I'm like, well, there's no way anybody could read Nature's Term Religion and not come away saying, this is right. Hands down, this is right. This is it. I read that book and was converted. I've read that book five damn times. I read it the first time in 2001. I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is what I'm about. This is what everything that I've been fighting for is about. That's how powerful that book, Nature's Eternal Religion, is. But I mean, you got these people that just want to, you know, they want to add, you know, fairies to it. I forget who is, there was some, I don't think it was Mark Twain. There was some guy in England or America during the 19th century. I don't think it was the 18th century. I believe it was the 19th century. He said, isn't the garden beautiful enough without having to imagine it populated by fairies? And he was, of course, bashing Christ's insanity. But it's true, though. What do you need the spook element for? Is it just a fear of death? I don't understand that. Even something so horrible as death. And for us creators, death is it. There's no afterlife for us, you know, but that's still a positive in and of itself, because we pass on our DNA and our children. We pass on our blood through our family line. You know, we pass it on. We give birth to, and we teach and we raise and we protect as long as possible the next generation, who then does it for the next generation and the next generation, and so on and so forth. That's a very positive thing. It's the cycle of life. You can't have life without death. Death is, in and of itself, is not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. I mean, it kind of sucks, but it's not a negative in and of itself. Creativity teaches us that, you know, this bad thing called death, it's natural. It's a part of the natural order that Mother Nature created, so that we would have the instinct to survive and reproduce and to pass on to the next generation. See, so out of that negativity comes positivity. And that's what creativity is about. That's what it teaches us. But, you know, I just don't get the whole spook thing. I really don't. You know, it's like Odinism. Yeah, I understand it recruits people in prison. But listen, I did time in prison. Let me explain something. A lot of these people are just, they're either doing it because they think it's cool, or because they have to do it because it's part of the way. If you're white and you're in prison, you have to be a part of the white gang. And the white gang is made up mostly of fucking either Christian Identity or Odinists. So you have to join one or the other. And, you know, that, I mean, you know, this is why I didn't hang out with the white people when I was in prison, because I'm a creator. And it's pretty sad that when I was in prison, I was mostly hanging out with mestizos who at least agreed with me when it came to fascism and Nazism and third position, you know, and anti-Jew stuff, and anti-Mayate. Let's not, you know, let's face it, you know, mestizos hate Mayates probably more than we do. And, you know, I was hanging out with these mestizos in prisons because the white guys are, you know, they're all into either Christian Identity or American nationalism, or, you know, conservatism, just with a slight racial bent because they're in prison, they have to. But, you know, if they had never gone to prison, they wouldn't give a flying fuck about Hitler or skinheads or anything like that, or Odin or any of that bullshit. They wouldn't care about any of it if they hadn't gone to prison and were forced to join the white gang. So, you know, creativity, it rejects all this spookism. It rejects, regardless of whether it has some merit to it or not. It's like, look, we don't need spooks. We have our race. We have our history. We have nature instincts. That's what we need. That's all we need. That's what we have. That is us. That's what Clausen teaches us. And as far as, say, reading nature and religion, you know, as far as focusing on any one time period of white history to be proud of, which is, you know, Odinists and Wotanists kind of focus, they focus on the Germanic tribes and the Vikings. And then you've got other pagans that focus maybe on the Celts or the Slavs, or, you know, the Hellenics or something. And then you've got, you know, the Nazis that, you know, worship fucking Hitler. And, you know, you have these guys, but see, creativity teaches us to embrace all white history, all of it, from ancient Egypt to the Hellenic lands prior to Rome, the Vikings, the Celtic warriors, the Germanic warriors, the Slavic warriors, the Slavs who held back the mud people, the mud invasion, two different times against the Mohammedan Arabs, against the Turks, and then a third time against the Mongols, and probably against the Chinaman expansion too. So white Slavs saved Europe like four different times. And then you had the white Spaniards and the white Italians, you know, drove out the Moors and the Arabs that had invaded southern Europe, you know, the historical territories of the Mediterranean. Like, you have to remember, if you go back 42,000 years, white people populated the entire planet. Now, I believe, as Graham Hancock has written, that you know, that basically the only humans you had, well, I don't really like using the term human. I mean, technically human only refers to white people. But now I believe, you know, there's two different schools of thought on this. One is that mud people were created kind of, you know, through breeding practices, kind of like a weird kind of domestication. The other is that they were already evolved, but in vastly inferior numbers. Regardless of which school of thought, you fall into, archaeology clearly states that white people 42,000 years ago lived all over the entire planet. But even if we just, even if we ignore the whole, 150,000 years of white glory, and we just pack it into the last, say, 10,000 years or 12,000 years, we still have ancient Egypt. We still have the origins of the Sumerian culture, which were white people. The origins of the Hindu Valley, which were white people. The origins of the of ancient Japan, which were white people. The Ainur, who still populate a couple of islands in northern Japan, were the original inhabitants of Japan. They were white people. And then you had the same thing in China. China was originally, and with India, was originally populated by white people that gave culture. Then, of course, the mud people came in, fucked everything up. You have all this bestiality going on, all these mixed creatures walking around. So, everything just gets fucked up. But creativity teaches us to focus on, all aspects of white history, not just say the Vikings or the Third Reich, but everything. Now, yes, Clausen does seem to focus heavily on the Greco-Romans and the Wild West, but that's because those are two sections of the white race, that's two historical points of our people that that showed who we are, I think, more than any other era. And I agree with that. The rebirth we had, some 12,500 years ago in the Hellenic lands, which gave birth to the Egyptians and the Romans, and the Sumerians, that all came from the ancient Greeks, the Linear A Greeks, the ones that went back, say 8, 10, 12,000 years ago. And of course, that's just a legacy that got passed, that got inherited into the Romans or Latins, as they were originally referred to. And so that is a great legacy that shows truly the ability of not just the white race to bounce back from, terrible calamities, both racially and planet-wide, but also showing our greatness as creators, as thinkers and inventors and builders. And of course, there's the Wild West, which is a really, really positive point of history for white people because, we conquered an entire continent. We were outnumbered and sometimes outgunned, and yet we still won. White people were not the majority when we were conquering the West. we did that through our own strength of will, our own intelligence, our own creative abilities. That's what led to us conquering the West. It wasn't superior numbers, it's superior genes. The Mexican-American War, which is an unfinished war, the Mexican-American War was, we were outnumbered. There were more Mexicans. Mexican citizens, I'll say it that way, because Mexican is not a race, it's a nationality. But there were more Mexican citizens than there were United States or white people in that area. And in fact, some white people, ones that were Catholic, once again, spookism, fucking shit up. There were many Catholic whites that actually deserted the ranks of the United States Army and actually join with the Mexican army because they thought that, oh, well, Mexico is a Catholic nation. America's Protestant nation, or United States is Protestant nation. Therefore, we must go with our religion, not our race. And of course, back then, one could, for the most part, say that the United States was a white nation. I'm not one of these pro-American people that you run into a lot of them. But anyway, and once again, we were outnumbered and sometimes even outgunned, and yet we still prevailed in the West because of our superior racial qualities. And Let's see. And let's take a look. Ancient Egypt, ancient Egypt was white, built all those great things. And if you believe as I do, and as you know, in the findings of Graham Hancock, this stuff goes back, like 40, 50,000 years. So, I mean, white people have been building these vast monuments for tens of thousands of years. Mud people just basically living in huts or caves, maybe creating some type of civilization off the back of white people, like in China, Indian, like China and India, Southeast Asia. I forget that kingdom that used to live down there. But anyway, not the one that preceded the Thai kingdom. Anyway, so all that was built up on the back of, with race mixing and just inheriting. In fact, it's a great example of mud people inheriting white genius is the Aztecs, the Incas, and the Mayas. When the white Spaniards, when the white Hispanics, because Hispanic means white Latino, for all you haters out there. But when the white Latinos, the Hispanics showed up, they saw all these, these ruins, and they were like, "Did you guys build all these roads and temples and buildings and cities of made of stone?" And the Incas, they asked both the Incas and the Aztecs this, and they laughed. They said, "Oh no, your people did. Your people did thousands and thousands of years ago." Because the tales, as Graham Hancock has pointed out, the tales of Quetzalcoatl and what's the other one? Quetzalcoatl, what's the other? Shit, what is it? Forget. It was that's the city name. Damn it. Viracocha. That's right. Viracocha and Quetzalcoatl were two stories of the same white people that showed up thousands of years ago and gave culture, excuse me, gave culture to the mud people that live there. So all of the so-called Mayan ruins or Aztec Incan ruins or Olmec ruins, these are all from white people. And the Aztecs and the Incas told the Spaniards that. They're like, "No, your people from across the sea thousands of years ago came here and built all this and gave it to us. You are the gods that built this, and you are the gods that have now returned." That's why they were able to conquer, millions of fucking Indians, was because the Indians thought that from their stories that these were the great white people that built the civilization, so they come to reclaim the civilization. Unfortunately, the Spaniards, being controlled by Jews and Christ and Saints and in the Catholic Church and the Spanish court, kind of fucked over some of the ancient white history that was still, around then, and we lost several ancient white artifacts. But this is just a good example. And erroneously, people are like, "Oh, well, the Mayans either built it, or the Olmecs, or the Aztecs and Incans, built some of it." That's not true. The Aztecs and Incans told the Spaniards that they'd inherited from the Mayans, who had inherited from the Olmecs, who had inherited from a race of white people with blonde and red hair, with beards, and wearing what looked like Celtic and Roman garb, had crossed the sea in large, well, they called them something else, but basically ships, but they called them like some magical thing, and crossed over the sea, from the east across the Atlantic, and had built all these ruins and had lived here and ruled for thousands and thousands of years before the Mayans and the Aztec the Mayans and the Olmecs even showed up. So these are just great examples, and creativity points this out. There, it Clausen tells us we need to not just love our white race now, but also the history of our race and the history that goes back. If you read Graham Hancock, 42,000 years with, advanced civilization of creators and artists and poets and lovers. Or if you just believe in standard evolution, we go back, what, 150,000 years? And in that short period of time, built everything, built all civilization and culture. in 150,000 years, and the mud people have been around for hundreds of thousands and millions of years. Negroids have been around. I mean, what? They're basically the Congoid Negro and the Abbo are what? They're like Homo habilis, Homo erectus. That's what they are. They're damn sure not Homo sapiens or Cro-Magnons, depending on which school of evolutionary thought you study. You know, white people are, you know, the Homo sapiens. White people are the humans. I mean, Negroes, I mean, obviously, you look at a full-blooded Negro, either the Congoid one or the Abbo, and they obviously look like ape men, you know, on the evolutionary scale. I don't know. I've been studying evolution since I was 8 fucking years old. I mean, I was 8, 10 years old, and I could tell that fucking Negroes were fucking ape men. I don't understand how people don't see that. It's just so bizarre to me that people don't see that. It's so obvious. And you don't have to be a studier of anthropology to, you know, or archaeology to see this. This boggles my mind. Excuse me. But, you know, Negroes have, you know, being, I guess, I'm not sure if we should classify them as Homo habilis or Homo erectus or what, but the Negro has been around for what, like 3-5 million years? How old is Lucy? Lucy's like, what, 3 million years old? I think the predecessor for Lucy is 5 million years old. So Negroes have been around for 5 million years, haven't evolved past that, haven't evolved past fucking chimpanzees. Orientals and the Semites. Now, Semite doesn't mean Jew. It's actually a grouping of Asiatic, because you have two different groupings. You have the Mongoloid, which is what Orientals come from, and then you have the Semite, which is what you got. You got Kurds, Turks, Jews, Arabs. The kind of, you know, that's what the Semite is. It's not just Jews. It's like the Arabic like races. And so the Asiatics, you know, so you got the Mongoloids, which have been around, depending on which race you look at, have been around for 300,000 to 800,000 years. Negroes that have probably been around 3 or 5 million years, you know, I lump the Negroes in with Lucy. So we got Negroes around for 3 million years, haven't evolved past the fucking Stone Age. You got the Mongoloids, which could be divided into subgroupings. But once again, you know, being around for hundreds of thousands of years before white people showed up. And, you know, I mean, they didn't really go that too far past what level would we say? Bronze Age, maybe, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then you have white people that, you know, let's say, you know, some say 250,000, some say 150. Or 100, you know, it depends on what you're looking at. I say most of the evidence I've looked at, I think 150,000 years is good, is a good starting point. But we have 150,000 years ago, white people show up, you know, and the harshness of the Ice Age of Europa, you know, beats down upon our DNA and turns us into thinkers and creators and fighters. And what do? Within 50,000 years, all of a sudden, we've domesticated animals. We've built a small city-state structures, city-state structure, as in, you know, having a localized government, localized currency, you know, culture, you know, things that would signify civilization. And this is just in a mere 50,000 years. And meanwhile, all the mud people have never domesticated jack shit. I mean, it's just amazing that anybody could think anything else. I don't get it. But anyway, I digress. Creativity teaches us to focus on the positive, not just the negative, but the positive as well. And the positive is our great white history and how evolution turned us into the master race. That's what's important. And creativity teaches this to us. Ben Clausen says, look, this is your history. Embrace it. With all the faults that it comes with, embrace it. And we do. We creators do. We embrace it all. It's a wonderful thing. I really love this religion. It's such a wonderful religion. It's logical. It's plain black and white English. It's no fruitiness. It's no long-winded sermons. There's no spookism to fucking blind you to reality. Sometimes reality is harsh. Sometimes it sucks. When I was in solitary confinement for 2.5 fucking years, by the way, I'm sure some smartass will be like, oh, well, no wonder you're the way you are. Hey, listen, 2.5 years. I was in solitary for 31 months. This sucks. Trust me, it sucks. 2.5 years of solitary, yeah, but I still was not broken. Why? Because I believe in creativity and because my race through evolution has been made a strong, strong species. That's why it didn't break me. And even in that dark hour where I'm just sitting there locked in a box for 2.5 years, 2.5 fucking years, you know, like one visit a week, sometimes no visit. This is terrible. Never going outside, never getting wreck. It depends on which prison you're in. Some prisons, your wreck is you're just locked inside a cage, inside a bigger cage. They don't take you outside to where you're in a cage, but at least you can touch grass or dirt. No, some places you're just inside a concrete building. It's just like twice the size of your cell. So you can like walk back and forth a little bit more. So some prisons are like that. They're terrible, terrible, terrible. I wouldn't wish solitary confinement on somebody. I hate it. Terrible. No, I just have them killed. But this is terrible, terrible thing. But anyway, creativity got me through that. It really did, because it focuses on the positive. And you know what I focused on when I was in there? I meditated. I thought about my loving mother, who I miss so much. My family growing up. I had a nice childhood, for the most part. You know, I mean, the world can be cruel sometimes, but. My home life was actually really nice. Great memories. I focused on that. I focused on my dreams for when I got out. I focused on how I could help my race, how I could help myself, how I could help those I cared about, you know, on a personal level, you know, friends and close comrades and whatnot. And, you know, that got me through it. You know, just remembering what Clausen said, you know, is we take the bad with the good, because that's life. That's who we are. We are creatures of nature. We are creatures of reality. That's what he teaches us. We are creatures of reality. And sometimes reality sucks. So you got to accept that. You got to accept that negative. But the flip side, it's very positive. Anyway, that's pretty much it. I thought that was good. Hopefully... you know, for those of you new to creativity, hopefully this has piqued your interest and like, that's interesting. That's a different take on things. I haven't heard that before. Well, if you want to know more, just go to our website at churchofbenclausen.org or creativityreligion.com. There are other website addresses, but click on that and go to the Holy Books section. You can download for free, copy of the little white book. It'll take you 20 minutes to read. It's a really great book, a great rundown of our religious creed and our program and our beliefs and practices. It'll take you 20 minutes to read. I guarantee you, you'll read that book. You'll either believe in creativity or you'll say, fuck it. But it's a great book. It is. In fact, you'll read it, you'll convert. I guarantee you. And Nature, Term, Religion, which is the first holy book, that's on there too. Several holy books are on there, all free. And just check it out. You know, just read a few chapters. I want to challenge you. Either read the entirety of the Little White Book. It'll take you 20 minutes. Or read the first few chapters of Nature, Term, Religion. I guarantee Clausen's words will open your mind and your heart and your soul to something great, something grand. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for being with me today. And the church is growing. Things are actually looking really good as far as the church goes. Very good. Very, a lot of good, positive things. I want to thank everybody again who is helping us to spread the word in places like Texas, Utah, the Northwest. Thanks, Brother Shane, and the others who I will not mention by name. And to our people in the tri-state, of course, in Canada, in South America, in Europa, especially Russia, our new members that we got in Russia. We have a organization over there which is helping us to get our message of creativity to the Russian people. This is really good. And just things are looking very good in the future. I want to thank everybody again. And remember to focus on the positive. No matter how bad things get, remember the words of our holy founder, Ben Clausen, is there are always two sides to every coin. You can't have something be positive without the reverse being negative. Because if everything was happy all the time, would you really be happy? No. The sweet is never as sweet without the sour. Always remember that. That is our logic. Anyway, thank you for being with me again today. Check us out, churchofbenclausen.org, creativityreligion.com. And remember, with both negativity and positivity, we will together win this racial holy war. Rahoa.